it takes a while to develop an investigative case. The reality is that people were loath to come forward for years in Iraq because it's a very dangerous place. They feared for their lives if they did. Time has lightened that threat a bit, and as a result, our caseloads increased. But the main thing that's pushed it up is our forensic financial initiative that we began 18 months ago. It's an interagency effort, part of a congressional mandate we were given.
So it's not necessarily that there is more corruption per se, it's that we're able to find it.
That's
and
correct.
By we, I mean you.
That's correct. Iraq was exclusively a cash environment for the first 5 years of the reconstruction program. What we found, and I can't go into details, but what we found is as that cash has eventually come back to the States through electronic means, we've been able to identify some of its movements and identify some of the persons who have been engaged in its money laundering, if you will, and that has yielded some fruitful cases.
Yeah, you mentioned forensic analysis of financial transaction. What's that all about?
That means we have auditors and investigators working together with IRS agents and others from the Defense Criminal Investigative Service and the Army Criminal Investigative Division, and as a result, this multi-purpose team has been able to piece together cases that we otherwise individually could not have come up with.
Taking a look at historically these problems that you've had to deal with, are you finding that, well, clearly there are more of them now because you're finding them, but are they bigger? Are they smaller? Are they kind of nitpicky? Are they enormous? Give me a sense of scale of, are they getting worse? Or are they getting better?
Some are very large involving companies. As a matter of fact, we have some cases, really the first cases we've had that may yield convictions of fairly large companies. So that's at the big end. At the smaller end of the spectrum, the Commander's Emergency Response Program, a cash program that gave, brigade commanders money to spend in the field, some local paymasters, as part of that program, apparently succumbed to the temptation of so much cash sitting in front of them and pilfered it. And we have now been able to track some of that pilfering and begin to prosecute it.
And there's also been evidence of bribery, too, right, for in turn for getting contracts or giving contracts, rather. Some officers have taken bribes.
That's right. Our largest cases, one out of Al-Hilla, which is where Babylon is, and a large scheme down in Kuwait that was coordinated across Iraq, were both chiefly bribery cases.
Are we talking about $50, $5,000, $50 million? Give us a scale.
Millions. Dollars. Millions of dollars.
Do you even waste your time with the little $1,000 here, $150 there kind of things?
Not that low, but when it gets to the tens of thousands, we pursue it.
And our guest today is Stuart Bowen. He's Special Inspector General for Iraq Reconstruction. Now, early on, the report showed contractors wasting, in some cases, hundreds of millions of dollars for work that was not performed or work that was shoddy. And I think it was the Wartime Commission came out.
Yes.
And said that there was a lack of contractor officer representatives on site to oversee. Has the tone and tenor of the types of misuse, fraud, and abuse changed with time?
Well, the commission is exactly correct in identifying waste as the chief culprit of loss of U.S. taxpayer dollars in Iraq. Fraud is egregious, but it's not where the big money has gone down the drain. Because of the security problem, because of corruption on the Iraqi front, because of a constant change in programs and plans, U.S. taxpayer dollars were wasted. Billions. I've estimated $4 to $5 billion in waste over the last 6 years. That's unacceptable, even in a difficult situation like Iraq. And what I'm focused on now, what the commission has been focusing on in its hearings this year is not just the fact of that waste, but how do we fix it? And my proposal in a recent report that my office has issued is to create an entity within the United States government that has the responsibility and the capacity to plan and execute a contingency relief and reconstruction operation and be accountable. We don't have that today.
And the irony there is that under the Federal Acquisition Regulation, the capability of doing things in an emergency, even sole sourcing and no-bid contracts, the ways to do that legally and fairly do exist, but there doesn't seem to be the expertise to be able to execute on authority that the government already has.
Exactly right. Unfortunately, a decision was made about 15 years ago to reduce the contracting corps within the Pentagon and across the government, and we're paying the price for that today.
Now, money is, of course, the big factor here. This isn't an issue of ideology or the bad guys wanting to try to usurp what it is the good guys are trying to do, depending on where you stand on that. It's all about the money. I mean, people can be bought, really, right?
Well, corruption is a huge problem in Iraq, but chiefly on the Iraqi side of the equation. 99% of the U.S. Personnel that served in Iraq, I think, served honorably. A very small percentage violated their trust. But the big issue, along with corruption today, and it's a money issue again, Amy, is services. And 19 people were wounded and one killed in the last 2 days because of protests across Iraq about lack of electricity. And we spent $5 billion trying to build their electricity grid up. The Iraqis have spent more than double that, at least that's what they say. The result is not enough for the Iraqi people, and the result is that they have to live off of black market energy provided by local generators who charge them more than they can afford, and so thus they hit the streets.